bet I know what one of your favorite questions to get asked is, especially if you're a parent. If you can remember this, let me know if I'm right. Why? Anybody remember that? Even if you don't, or even grandkids or your kids, is why? Or even as a teacher, you know, it's like, well, why? Years ago, I was working with a Christian education committee, and I would participate in their meetings. And I remember one time I sat in on one of their meetings, and we had one of the ladies that were on that committee. We had a couple new members there, and she, in the course, as we were getting started, she pipes up and kind of took me by surprise, but she said, well, Pastor's going to be asking us why, you know. Why are we doing this? Why, you know, asking, getting us to ask that why question. And it wasn't a bad tone at all. It was actually very good, because she communicated that as like she knew the benefit of asking the right questions. And that's something that we've spent a lot of time doing here over the last 3 years, is kind of asking, why do we do what we do? And why are we doing this? Just to make sure that everything that we're doing is just very intentional. Because I believe that's important. Faith should come out, be lived in an intentional way. When I was parenting as my kids were a little bit younger, I can remember getting that why question. And lots of fun, right? And I remember as they were younger, it's like, well, Do you ever notice like the difference in tone? How it can, the one question can come across two totally different ways. I'm not picking on them, because I used to do this myself. And it just, kids do it. This is how we, right? It's how a lot of times how we learn and how we communicate, right? But maybe you remember something like, why do we have to do that? Because I said so? Does that ever ring a bell? Anybody? Because I'm your dad? Because I'm the boss until your mother gets home? I'm just kidding. Just kidding about that. Just kidding. Hey, now. Watch it. Questions can be annoying, and yet questions can be so very powerful. And I know you know this, that questions can uncover what's hidden. Questions can lead to learning, which makes it super powerful. Even questions can reveal our fears. Sometimes we ask questions, right, that are grounded not really to understand something, maybe, as much as it's we want to try to get out of something because we're afraid, right? Or perhaps because of our doubts, or maybe even our pride. Well, why do I have to do that? Because I already, you know, potentially. Sometimes questions can be used, teachers, you may know this quite well, to redirect students from one thing onto something else, to get them to see the truth, or just to refocus them. Sometimes questions can help us get unstuck if we feel like we're kind of stuck, maybe, as we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, maybe stuck in suffering, stuck in temptations. And as Drew Walker did a great job last week, talking about unhealthy thinking, of maybe feeling unwanted, that sometimes asking right questions can help us to get unstuck. For me, over the years, I found that sometimes the trick is just asking a better question, which seems like a funny thing, but there really is a lot of power in that, asking the right questions. And I thought we would use Moses from the story of Exodus as our example. So if you have a Bible that you'd like to follow along a little bit today, I would invite you to do that, maybe on your phone, or if you brought your Bible, or if those of you worshiping online with us, if you have yours, feel free to follow along. If not, I'm going to kind of tell the story as we go a little bit, so feel free to just kind of walk that road with me. Moses, when he is in Midian, and he is a shepherd for Jethro, his father-in-law, and he's out there, and he's with the sheep out in the fields, and there comes a point in time where he ends up kind of seeing this bush that is on fire, but yet it's not really burning. You know, it's not being consumed, and it gets his attention. how in the world does this happen? So he wants to go check it out. And as he goes, then the Lord speaks to him, Moses, Moses, right? And he says, take your sandals off, for the ground that you're on is holy ground. Because the Lord is present there among in that fire, and he's speaking to him. And he tells him what he wants him basically to go do. Does anybody remember, if you know the story, can you remember the job that God wants Moses to carry out? Does anyone remember? If you're online, you want to type in the comments, feel free to do that. It'd be awesome. He wants him to go to where? To Egypt. And he wants him to deliver his people from slavery. And he eventually wants to lead them to where? To the promised land. So that's kind of the story in a nutshell. And God says, this is what I basically want you to do. To do that for me, okay? I'm calling you. I'm calling you out, and I want you to be my rep to do that. And so Moses starts asking God what? Questions. And the first question that Moses asked God was in verse 11. And somebody go in verse 11. We're going to do a little back and forth here today, okay? So if you've got verse 11, somebody can just look at that. What is the first question, the first three words that Moses says in response to the Lord? It's in verse 11. It should be right there at the beginning. Who am I to go bring these people out of Egypt? Moses was really doubting that he, in a sense, is good enough to go and to do this monumental task for God all by himself. That he's strong enough, he's smart enough, he's powerful enough, that he's persuasive enough to go and do this. It would be like an ant trying to take down an elephant. You would go, well, that's not going to happen, right? Like, that's impossible. And for the way Moses is thinking about this, who am I that I could go do this and convince basically a king in a nation to just let your people go? Like, that's crazy. That is so over the top. I don't think so. And I want you to notice, and here's what we're going to take a look at, is how God responds to Moses sort of getting stuck with questions that are not as simply as partly to learn, but also partly out of doubt and a fear of failure. And I want you to notice one of the first response that God has for Moses. Moses says, who am I? In verse 12, what does God say to Moses? Well, maybe we'll back and forth a little bit for a second. What does he say? He said, I will be with you. I will be with you. You feel inept for the task. Oh, but I'll be with you. He says, I'll go with you. Something that, if you remember the Great Commission, we'll bring Jesus in early, right, to this morning in a sense. But to bring him in, Jesus was getting ready to go to heaven, and he said to the disciples, he says, I want you to go make disciples. And he says, and surely I am what? With you always to the end of the age. I want you to go do this monumental task, but I'm going to go with you. I'll be with you. I couldn't help wonder, as I was preparing for this and thinking of this point, that maybe there are times that we've gotten stuck in, maybe in our faith, stuck in serving the Lord, trying to be obedient to what we sense like God wants us to do something, to say something. Maybe we kind of got stuck because we didn't feel good enough. God, I hear you, but I don't really feel good enough, like I'm good enough to go do this, right? This is too big for me. Who am I that I could do that, right? Or, for example, he's like, God, do you want me to help teach and work with kids and the Hope Kids? Who am I that I could do that? I can't teach kids. I barely have enough patience to deal with my own. And you want me to go work with other parents' kids? This is way too much. I know y'all would never say that. You guys wouldn't do that, but God, you really want me to share my testimony with this person? I don't know that I could do that. Who am I that I could actually share my testimony and actually make a difference in someone else's life? God, you want me to volunteer and help out like, my schedule's so busy, Lord, who am I that I could have I could be able to make this work? I got all these responsibilities. I don't have enough time and energy to be able to do what you want. I think I hear you want me to do, but who am I that I can make that work? I'm not saying this is something that any of you guys ever wrestle with, but I know I have over the years. So I thought, well, maybe. And I thought, you know, Andy, I talked to myself. And I thought, Andy, the truth is, I'm not good enough. That Andy is not good enough to do what you want me to do. But because of Christ in me, I am good enough to do what you want me to do. Not because of me, but because of Christ in me. That your presence in me, that qualified, that makes me good enough. God did not call us to serve him because we are qualified. We are qualified because God calls us. And I think Moses' story shows us that also, that not only is that true, but also that those whom God calls, he doesn't abandon. You think, I'm going to be on my own. It's going to, no. When God calls you, he says, I go with you. Right? This is something that we're in this thing together, all right? I got you. I'm with you. I'm going to go with you to the end. You can't see the end, but I see what you don't see. And you don't know the end, but I know what you don't know. And you don't see that you have everything that you need, but I know what you need, and I got what you need. Man, it's an old song back in the, what was it, 90 or something? But anyways. And he says, I'll go with you to the end. Don't worry about it. Does that ever ring a bell with anybody? Okay, just to make sure I'm not the only one here on this one. All right, so there's one. Let's pick the second one. You ready for this? All right, so Moses' second question. Go to verse 13 and look at that question that he asked. And I know it might be worded a little bit differently in different versions. That's okay. But what is he asking? Anybody? Suppose I go, and they ask me, who is right seeing you do it? And I tell them, and they go, well, what's his name? What am I going to tell them? Because you want me to go do something, Lord, and you want me to go be under your name. Well, I don't even really know you all that well, and I don't even know your name, and I don't know what to tell these people when they ask me, under whose authority are you even standing here in front of us and even doing this? He says, what do I tell them? Moses doesn't feel educated enough to go do what God's calling. He doesn't feel like he's prepared to really be successful. You know, it's like, I want to know what I'm stepping into before I step into it, because I feel like I'm going to step into something that I'm just going to fail. You ever been there? Now, for many of us, that's part of how we make decisions, right? You give me a little more information that helps me feel a little more comfortable, and that's okay. But there always comes a point, you know, where you have to say, am I going to say yes or no? No matter how much information, am I going to say yes or no? It comes down to an act of faith. What am I going to do? And I like, in the midst of how Moses is doubting and has a fear of failure, I like what God gives back to him. Where he points him. He says, well, you want to tell him something? Well, here's what you tell him. You tell them that I am has sent you to fulfill his covenant promise with his people to lead them to the blessings that I promised I would lead them to in the promised land. That's kind of a paraphrase, but that's in essence what he tells him. I wonder what it felt like to Moses, because Moses, it seems like, is standing in this moment and he feels like he has all this weight on his shoulders. He has so much that is standing in front of him. And how in the world there's just so many questions, right? How is all this going to work? I don't even know what to tell these people. And he's stuck on the uncertainties of what he's going to be stepping into that might keep him from succeeding. And God knows that. God sees right through that. Listen, when you're struggling, don't you think that God sees your struggle? Yes. When you're worried, God knows what you're worried about. Not for a moment does it escape God's attention or His compassion. He 100% is aware of it. And if you're like, I don't know, Lord. Well, the Lord knows that too. I don't say that to guilt us, but I say to look. You have a God that knows your heart. And He knows the place you're standing in. And He loves you more than you can comprehend. And He never will call you to serve Him and to go with Him and not make a way for you to be effective for His calling on you. He will always provide a way and provide what you need. He'll give you the strength. Even when you don't think you can stand, He'll make it so that you can stand up and you can walk forward. When you're weary, He will hold you up and lead you onward. Felt like that. 3/4 away through that marathon last Sunday because it was tiring. I love it. The essence of God tells Moses, I really want us to hear today, and I want you to hear that, is that no matter what you don't think you know, you tracking? I'm still doing the good that I promised I would be doing. And you don't have to have all the answers and have it all figured out. It's okay. Just need to say yes. When I call you, say yes. Well, I understand all that. Just say yes. Say yes to the Lord. Let Him fulfill His promise in the world through you. That's all He's asking from you. He's not asking you to save the world and to fix the problems. None of that. He's just asking you to say yes. Let me fulfill my promise through you. That's all I need from you, right? It's not letting you off the hook. It's just saying we're participating in what God is doing. What God is doing. It's not God participating in what you're doing and I'm doing. That's the wrong way to think of it. I think that's sometimes how we think about it. Well, this is my ministry. This is my work. I have to do this. Well, God, would you just make that happen and bless that? That's backwards. God, you're in the midst of doing this work, and I'm thankful I can work with you in this work. Would you provide me what I need to know to do what you're doing in an effective way that will bring you glory for the good of the church and help invite people to Jesus? Like, that's the heartbeat of it, right? Just making a shift. God, it feels like it's on my shoulders, but I know it's not on my shoulders. It's really on your shoulders, because all you're doing is sending me out to be a representative for you amongst the people in the world. Well, God, I can do that. Just help me do that. Because you're already out there. You're inviting people to you. It's prevenient grace. Well, let me just work with you. So when I don't feel like I know what to say, when I have a moment I can talk about Jesus, be okay with that. Be uncomfortable with that. That's okay. Because in your uncomfortability, where are you going to have to find strength? In the grace of God, right? I'm going to have to trust the Holy Spirit to give me the words to say when I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to say. It's like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. That's okay. It won't be the first time you've messed it up. You say, well, he's rude. Last I checked, we're all sinners saved by grace. Last I checked, we've all made some mistakes and messed some things up. And last I checked, in the midst of our weakness, God's grace was sufficient to save us. I thought I'd get bigger on that one, but that's okay. Yeah, all right. It's okay. Own who you are. And own who you are in Christ. Because the latter is worth more than the former. You might can make a plaque on that. I don't know. But anyways. Just just take Jeremiah 29:11 and just walk with that every day. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Well, God knows what he's doing today. Lord, help me just be in a partnership with what you know you're already in the work of doing. So let me just walk and work with you today in your way and in your will. May I speak the words that you give me today? That's a lot of W's, I know. But that's the essence of it, right? That's what we're getting at today. Sometimes we get stuck because we feel like it's all on us, but that's just, we got stuck because we looked in the wrong place. Our perspective was wrong. Shift their perspective. Well, look at the last one I'll hit today. In chapter 4, verse 1, what does Moses ask God? What is he asking? If you got your Bible, somebody's got your Bible, look there, chapter 4, verse 1. What is it that he asked him? What if they don't believe me and they don't listen to me? What if I go and teach those kids back there and they won't listen to me? Well, you wouldn't be the first. I'm just kidding. What if they don't believe me? What if I share my testimony and they don't believe me? Well, you won't be the first and you won't be the last. I don't have a way to convince them, essentially, Moses is saying to God. I don't have anything powerful that's going to convince these people that this is the very thing that you want to bring to pass and that this is actually going to happen, because he knows that there's no way on God's green earth, as we would say, that he has anything to bring to the table that's going to make the Pharaoh change his mind and all of the Israelites are going to be released out of Egypt and get to leave. He's going, this is common sense. I got nothing to bring here. I can only do so much. And it's in that God responds back to Moses with the power of God. You don't have the power to make this succeed? Oh, but I do. Oh, I do. And check the three. If you have your Bible, look at those, the three things that he does. And one, he says, just take the staff in your hand. What's he telling him to do with it? Throw it on the ground, and what does it become? It becomes a snake. And then he tells him, pick it up by the tail, pick it by the tail, and it becomes a what? The staff again. Well, then he has him do what? With his arm and his cloak, and what happens to his arm? Leprosy. He tells him, put it back in, bring it back out. Whoa, it's healed. I wonder if every time God did a healing miracle, if that happened. Probably not. So there's the third one. He tells him what? Pour the water from Nile onto the ground and it'll become blood. Right? Which you go, those are so super random. But yet they're not. For in these illustrations, these displays of God's power, we see a reminder that God will show his authority over the rise and the fall of empires, that he has the ability to overcome his enemies, and that he can restore what is broken, which is very much the message of what's going to happen in Egypt. It's the message that's going to happen through Christ. It's the message that's going to be culminated at the return of Christ, when the Lord returns. God is, it's like telling Moses, I know that you can't do, but I can do. I know that you don't have the power, but I have the power, and I'm going to do it through you. I don't need you to do it in your strength. I need you to do it in my strength. And I really like that. Because I wondered if sometimes we can focus on our own weaknesses, the things that we don't have the power to do and to bring change, and in that tend to get a little stuck in our faith or our willingness to say yes, Lord, and take steps of faith, right, into God-sized new chapters in our lives. Maybe lose sight that God's grace is really sufficient for us in our time of weakness. Like, we know the Bible verse, right, but that legitimately that is the truth. For it is. And then it just sort of, you ever get those moments where an idea just pops in your head? This was one of those moments. And I thought, if we focus on what we can't, we're going to miss what God can. If we focus on what we can't, we're going to miss what God can. God is a God of possibilities. God is a God who's doing a new thing. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of hope. He's a God of restoration. God that can reclaim what is broken, give it new life, and send it out with a purpose and a direction that will bring Him glory and honor. And I thought, maybe God could it maybe be kind of as simple as just asking a question. Will God's power bring Him glory, or will my power? Sometimes we think our power is what's needed to bring God glory. Our power doesn't bring God glory. He doesn't need our power to bring Him glory. So if I'm thinking about, I can't do it because I can't do it in my power, is that really the right tree to be climbing up? Probably not. But God, what could happen if You did this in me and through me by Your power? That'll bring You glory. And that by faith, I know that Your power is in me. Because by faith, I know that through my salvation, the presence of the Holy Spirit is within me, upon me, and that where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there is power, and that I have the ability to do the things that are going to bring You glory because You're making it possible in me. You are my source of strength. There's that song, right? You are my source of strength. You can bring an oasis where there is dry land. You can't. I can't do that. But God, You have the ability to do that. And the praiseworthiness of that statement is not in that He does it. It's that He has the ability to do it. Because I know that there are, I look out at you and I know that there are so many, you have moments and chapters in your lives where God did not do what you knew He had the power to do. And you go, why didn't He do that? I don't know. But I'm not sure that's the best question to ask. I don't think that question really leads us to a healthy place in our faith. Why didn't He do? I don't know. God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I don't have the answers for why God does and does not do the things that He does and doesn't do. Did I say that right? Okay. Just checking. So, Lord, if I can't answer all the questions about why You do what You do, and I don't have all the answers, and I know I don't have the ability to do the things that You can do, and on and on and on. Just thinking about it makes my feet get stuck. You know. Lord, help me to change the question. Instead of saying, well, who am I? That, you know. Isn't it amazing how tone changes everything? It is. God, help me to change the question. Who am I? That God would be mindful of me. That God would invite me to partner with Him. What an honor. Stop. No buts or anything. Just, who am I? That God would be mindful to partner. Wow. That I could partner with God. Invite me to partner with Him. Who? Wow. Well, what am I going to say? Right? Change the question. What words will God give me to say? So much different. It's a whole different question. What am I going to do? I don't know. Okay. What if we change the question? What might God do through his power in me? In me saying, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. I am your servant. Work through me as I partner with you. Just change the question. Even change the statement. Moses told God, he says, well, certainly, you know, someone else can do this better than me. And that's kind of what finally God addressed in Moses for that sort of lack of faith after all his answering his questions, redirecting him, right? We could, at the end, go, somebody else could do this a whole lot better than me. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, the Bible says God can do more through you than you could ever ask, hope, or imagine. And that's probably a healthier way to think. I know it is. So you may not be stuck today, or maybe. But if you are, perhaps a way to being unstuck is to change the question. Questions that believe by faith that God is present with us, that his promises are certain. If he says this, he means that, and he will fulfill his word. And ones that believe that there's no power equal to God's. It's not about what you bring to the table. It's about what God brings to you so that as you go forth, you're bringing glory and honor to him by him working through you. That's what we want to see happen. God will help us grow. I have no doubt about that. As we move forward by faith. And I think that truly is that's the key. You know, getting unstuck, if that's from the maybe in the mundane, right, of life. So I want to do something more in my suffering. I want something meaningful, respond to this in a meaningful way. My temptations, I want to respond to this in a meaningful way and feeling unwanted or unhealthy thinking. I just want to respond to this in a meaningful way. And sometimes it just comes by asking better questions that bring out the faith that's here. And you may feel like, oh, I'm struggling. I know. I believe, but Lord, help me in my unbelief. Lord, help me today. For you are stronger. You are honorable. You are a God who is true and upholds his word. You're a God who's still working and a God who's not done. I trust you. Help me. Help me bring you glory and honor. Maybe it could be as simple as when we start the day, Lord, I don't know what today will hold, but give me the courage and the boldness to walk with you wherever you go, to say what you need me to say today, so that when I lay my head down on this pillow tonight, that my day will have been walked with you, it will have been worked with you, and it will have been words that have come from you, so that my life will have pointed people to you. Lord, I thank you for this simple message. Thank you for the story of Moses and what we can pull from his story, his experiences, and how they, I really feel, relate even today. For he was human as we are and fallen as we are, struggled as we do, but served a God who is the same God that we serve, and that is you, Almighty God. And today we ask that as we wrap up this time of celebrating you and hearing from you in the word, that you would receive our praise back, for we know that you truly are a great God. And would you continue to be sufficient for us every single day, wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever you need from us, that we would say, yes, Lord, I'm your servant, send me. I will be your voice. that we would simply say yes to that calling every day of our lives. And Lord, I don't know if there is a better way to respond to the mundane in a meaningful way than to simply say, yes, Lord, I trust you today. I'm your servant.